different rendition. And this is going to be preparing us for moving into our meditation, which Eric will be leading us. So I invite you to take those things off your laps, plant your feet on the floor, and let this music just infuse into your being. We're all singing this together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
The song, and I'm going, where are we going with this? I think that's an amazing version of Amazing Grace. Wow, thank you, Lawrence. And great to have Lawrence back as well. I always enjoy working with him. So I welcome you. I'm Eric, like the Viking. And Hellman like the mayonnaise. Right? Okay, gotcha. I know there's one or two who remember me that way. So I'm going to invite you to name your own name as we go into meditation and into silence. And as you listen to your own voice inside, I invite you to also think of this phrase, the name of God is my inheritance. You are your own name, and in the magnificence of who you really are, the name of God, the Eternal, the Holy One, is your inheritance. So with eyes closed, gently open, fully open, whatever's relaxing for you, I invite you to take a step into rest. And take a breath. Feel yourself coming into your body. Maybe you're still vibrating a little bit from the music or from rushing to get here. Come. Be here. Now. And take another breath. Feel the cool air coming in through your nostrils or your mouth, and filling you and relaxing you. Feel the vibration in your body. Bless you. Perhaps a tingling in your hands, a coolness. Perhaps a relaxing into your legs and into your feet. You might find a crink in your neck, so if you need to, just kind of move your shoulders, your neck very gently, so you can open up the channels of your being. And take another breath. Notice yourself relaxing. Notice your eyes, whether they're tight or relaxed. Feel that relaxation going down through your jaw, your neck, your shoulders and your arms. Just feel yourself letting go into a deeper place inside. Feel that energy move down through your torso, chest and back. Feel your lower back and your abdomen, your belly begin to relax. Yes. Feel that energy move down through your hips, down through your seat, into the chair. Feel it in your legs, upper legs, your knees, your lower legs, calves and shins, your ankles and down into your feet. And then just feel that energy going down through you, through the floor, into the earth. Feel yourself connecting with the Mother, Gaia, the planet, feeding it with your love, your healing, your presence. And feeling her speaking back to you. Feel a strength, a love, a compassion that earth and life have for you, even if you don't think you're always worth it. Maybe if you haven't done things correctly. Even if you haven't listened to Spirit's voice. You're loved. We are loved and acceptable beyond our actions. And as that energy rises up from Gaia into you, and the love and the wisdom and the presence of Spirit flow down from above into you, feel them coming together in your heart center. Feel yourself nourished and cherished and loved. And when you're ready, then begin to let that energy outward. Send it out from your heart to all those who are crying out for it. The people, the beings, the parts of Mother Earth who are in fire, perhaps the Amazon, places in the Arctic that are still burning. Send it out to the icebergs and to all of the places that come to mind where love, healing, compassion and restoration speak to you. We are here for the healing of our planet. And all the beings on it, in it, of it. Everyone, no one, no being gets left behind. And we are also here for our own healing, to let in that which heart truly desires, miracles, peace, love, acceptance, forgiveness. And in our letting in these, the Course in Miracles says, we heal it all. The transformation comes from our accepting love and healing for ourselves and miracles. Now I invite you to take a final step, which is sending miracles out to everyone present in this room. Join us in co-creating the experience today that each person feels loved and is safe and accepted, cherished, forgiven. That they experience exactly what they need today, here, now. Send it out and wrap this place in a blanket of light and love. And now begin very gently to come back to this room, this place, this time, in your own way and in your own time. Reconnect to your body, reconnect to the light and the sounds and the feeling in the room. If you need to stretch, if you need to sing, whatever you need to do to come back. All right. So, welcome. Welcome. Today, okay, we got the lights down. We got these front lights, maybe just make it a little bit darker. There we go. Yeah, a little bit more color there, so your focus is on here. Imagine the brilliance that lies inside of each of us. We often lose sight of it, right? We're coming and going and getting and doing and being, and we just do it so much, so fast, that we forget that light, that presence that's in each person, and the colors, the magnificence. Would that we could really see with the eyes that show us this, but that day is coming as well. Today is about listening to the two voices within us. All right. So, whether you read the write-up or not, let's get into it. I'm going to begin with saying that in my past few talks, in fact, in most of my talks, I talk about this idea of the two voices, right? And what I mean, well, actually, I'm going to take a survey. I'm going to ask you if you're hearing voices. No, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there at all. So, okay, you're welcome to put up your hands. You know, self-admission is a wonderful thing on the spiritual path, but I won't force you into it. So, but Rick, I think you probably know what I mean by those two voices. When you take a look at a picture like this, do you know what it's like to have those different voices talking to you? Go and do it. No, don't. Be safe. Hold back. There's so many times when those dual voices speak to us. Now, ladies, I don't want to leave you out, so they show up in different forms, right? The white and the dark. The two voices are speaking to us all the time, if not a cacophony of voices. And sometimes the two voices are something like, you know, that little voice in your head that says, buy the shoes, buy the shoes. That's the voice you follow, right? And guys, not to leave you out, sometimes it's the voices in our tackle boxes. Well, that's kind of an old metaphor, because there aren't too many fishermen around these days. But what other voices are speaking to you? The sports voice, go and watch TSN, or, you know, whatever it happens to be, those voices speaking to us all the time. Sometimes the voices in our heads say unusual things, like keep saying, buy the bananas, and maybe there's a reason for it. You know, sometimes those voices, even though they're different, are to be listened to. And I think we can agree that if four voices out of five say, eat the chocolate, or a voice in our head says, go to Hawaii, we should follow those voices, right? There's a time to listen. However, if the voices get to this stage, I stop talking back to the voices in my head because now they've started to text me. You know, there's a time to cut and run. Be very wary of those voices. That's what I'm going to be exploring today. The better angel of our natures and the lesser angel of our natures. Somebody as well known as Abraham Lincoln used that in one of his famous speeches. So it's not a new concept. So let's explore it a little bit. Today's theme, as Desiree said, for September is embracing change. And the daily word today is I am a timeless, ageless expression of spirit. So how do those two things connect? Embracing change and being a timeless, ageless expression of spirit. That's what I'm going to try to do, is connect these dots using the idea of the two voices. For me, the spiritual path is a journey from believing we are our small self to knowing we are our large self. Whatever that means to you, however that touches you. So for example, perhaps on a dark night, you look up into the clouds, the sky, the stars, and go, I know I'm here for something more. I know I'm larger than just this. That's your large self speaking to your smaller one. Or maybe some days you just cry out, or maybe it's fear or exaltation, but you know that there's a small I am in us, but there's also a large I am that we are part of. And maybe that small I am really focuses on the body. You know, our self-image in our lives, we're so focused on the body. And whether we're fat or thin or whatever we are, muscles or not, we all aspire to different places, but that small I am focuses there instead of the larger I am focusing on the cosmic spirit and essence and mind that we are. How do we make sense of this division? Something I've talked about before. Again, today is that movement, the spiritual path from one I am to the other I am, the larger, the truer I am. For me, the key to this shift is those two voices that I mentioned before. Ego and spirit, as they're labeled in A Course in Miracles, which has been my primary spiritual path. The lesser angel, the better angel. How do we make sense of those two? What do they say about who and what we are? What do they say about who and what we are? If you take a look at the left column, the ego's voice tends to speak like this: fear, lack, not enough. Spirit's voice, just the opposite. So here's what I'd like you to do. As we look at that list, I want you to listen now with your right ear. Actually, no, we'll start with the left ear. And I'm going to speak to you voices of the ego. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. You never really do enough. You know, you always should be doing a little bit more than you are, because the needs are out there. The people need your help, and you're just not giving enough. Or maybe you really should have more money than you have right now. Or you should be better off financially, or have a better position. And you know, really, those critical voices inside, they're true, you know. Now let's shift to the other ear and say, wait a second, BS to that. You are way more powerful than you know. You are loved. You are precious. You may not have all that you want, but you are enough. And as you trust that you have enough, you will grow more in the having. You are here to experience the miraculous and the love that is here for you, because you not only are the center of love, you are beloved. What's it like to listen to those two voices? How does that feel? Which do you believe? Which one do you tend to believe? And which one do you want? Even if you believe one, which one do you really want inside? This is the challenge of the human condition, because the human condition is these two voices. So, whose voice are you going to listen to? That's really the subject today, is which one are you going to listen to? So how do we use this idea of the two voices to shift our identity from the small self to the large self? And how do we listen to those two voices without making ourselves crazy? Pretty easy, right? How many people get a sense of often believing the negative voice? The self-critical voice. The I don't have enough voice. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. So, the way for me that's come in terms of how to deal with these two things is the first way to the larger self is knowing that there are two identities and voices inside. When I was raised, when I went to university, when I first began working, I didn't know that was the case. And I just thought there was the scramble. Coming to know that there were two voices because there are two identities in us trying to speak was an important piece. Learning which one is speaking is the next one. Which voice am I really listening to? Which one should I really follow? As we get to distinctly understand the distinction between the two, we get to have choice. And then we can tune into love's voice more often. So, when we experience problems and pain, how does the ego want to guide us? How does your negative voice want you to act when you're in problems or you're in pain? Think about the voice, the self-talk you get. For me, one of them is hide or ignore it. Don't admit that you're not feeling okay. Don't admit how much money you make. Don't admit that maybe you're not feeling as good as you'd like to. Or maybe just suppress it. Just ignore it. It'll go away. That's, to me, the ego's counsel. Suffer through it. Grin and bear it. Push harder. There's nothing I can do about this. That, to me, is characteristic of, again, that ego, which says, I'm powerless. I have no choice. Or we attack ourselves. Should have done that better. Damn, you made a mistake. The unkindness of this voice to us is severe at times. Or we project this onto others. Oh, they should have done it different. Damn that Trump. Oh, that other person. That politician. We project our stuff onto others and see the guilt or the problems outside of ourselves. This is the way the ego operates. The ego operates sort of in keeping us in what I'll call a negative bubble. And it uses these ideas, these thoughts, these feelings, these projections as a way of keeping ourselves separate from each other and holding us into the smallness that we are. This is the voice that keeps us in the small self. But the way out is to begin to say there's more. And that's what unity is about. That's what the spiritual paths are about. It's saying, this is not me. It may be my experience, but it's not the truth of who I am. How do I reach out? And in fact, it's the ego thinks it's reaching out into darkness, but what it really is reaching out to the light, to the love, to the God, to the larger, maybe to somebody else who you can get some help from. It's reaching out to that which in fact is going to bring us light. Because the other part of that, love and true self are the ones down at the bottom for those who can't see. Spirit, God, love, and true self. Because, you know, really, it's not just reaching out, it's reaching in. Because that light isn't just outside, it's inside. But that's what the ego also wants to suppress and make us forget, is that by turning more deeply inside, we will in fact touch the gold that we seek outside. So,
Now let's get really practical. How do we take these nice ideas and bring them into our lives? How do we use these insights to get out of the pain and problems in our lives? That's where push comes to shove, and that's where we need to speak as spiritual people, or we're not being of earthly good. So, five ways to get out is what I want to explore. The first one is you. How do you get out of pain and problems and that mindset when that place takes hold? Can you give me some insights? What do you do to get out of those places? How do you shift? Yes?
I say to myself, this is not your truth.
I say to myself, this is not my truth. Sweet. Beautiful. Yes?
Go into meditation and listening.
Meditation and listening. So speaking or silence. Two different paths into how we get out. Yes?
Actions. Actions.
Actions speak louder than words. What a beautiful triangle. Speaking, listening, and acting. I thank you for the plants. You get your $5 at the end of the show. What other ways out do you have? Llewellyn?
Chanting.
Say that again.
Chanting.
Chanting. Beautiful. Any other ways out that you use? Yes.
Helping others.
Helping others.
Mm-hmm. I ask if I would want my friends to feel like this.
Oh. There's a love bomb to the heart.
Couldn't hear it.
Repeat it again.
I ask if I would want my friends to feel like this.
Would I want my friends to feel this way? Yes.
Just send love to the little person that's so afraid.
Send love to the small I am, yes. To the little person that's afraid. Yes.
Gratitude. Thank you.
All right, we have just, and I'm glad to hear that you've got, and one more, Desiree?
Oh, put on a good song and just shake
there
it.
There you go, music loving here, all right.
And Taylor Swift.
Sing takes away everything, great.
We all have our paths in, and that's important because we need those anchors into that center of self and the larger sense of being. Okay, so I'll give you four that came to me, but keep remembering your own. Because my words are my words. Hopefully they provide insight, but it's what grounds you into your connection to Source. That's what's most important. When the times get rough, you're going to be reaching. Reach for the ones that speak to your heart. So the second one I'd ask or invite you to consider is awareness and changing your mind. For me, awareness is a really important one, and I'm going to use a really practical example. I live on the edge of Stanley Park, and on the ring road of Stanley Park, there's a place where you go up almost from sea level to about the level of the Lions Gate Bridge or Prospect Point. So it's a fairly long climb if you're cycling. I was cycling for the first time in about 10 years the other day. And as I started up this long incline, I was pushing, I was cranking, and I was struggling. And I tried to push harder. And I could feel myself, somebody went past me like somebody like this, and I'm going, I gotta stay up with them, and really pushing. And inside, something said, stop. Slow down and enjoy the ride. Really. So I'm going, oh, and it says slow down instead of speed up and enjoy the ride. Well, I did. So I pedaled less, with less effort, but still going up the hill. And with that, my perspective, a new perspective we're talking about, shifted from the struggle I was focusing on to the trees and the beauty around me. And as I went up that hill, a little bit slower than I might have if I just pushed, I saw the beauty of the light coming in through the trees in this late afternoon, and just, I made it up to the top, the level of the Lions Gate Bridge, Prospect Point, in not much less time, but a lot more joy. And I thought, the next time I do this, slow down and enjoy the ride. Wow, what a shift in perspective. That's how the two voices, push harder, slow down, and enjoy the ride, can speak to us. So awareness is, I'm in pain, I'm in struggle, I'm in problems. If we negate that voice, we don't get the awareness that in fact is the trigger to move. When we're not at peace, listen to that voice, because it's a trigger to say, how do you want to be? And in changing our minds, we get to choose pausing, breathing, gratitude, self-talk, chanting, singing, all of the different things that you mentioned. We connect with the deeper core, and we release the ego pressure and choose peace, a different way of being instead. Look at these two columns of voices. Which voice do you think you're reading? Fear and frenzy? Calm and comfort? Confusion and coercion? Do you feel that place inside? Do you know that voice that tries to push you, to should you into doing things? Versus clarity and direction. Which voice are you hearing? This one says condemnation and discouragement versus forgiveness and encouragement. Which voice? The reason I'm doing this split screen is to get you to really see the distinction and the difference between those two voices, so that when you come and hear them this afternoon when you leave, and I guarantee you, you're going to hear them this afternoon. You may hear them before this service is out. You may hear them before I speak my next sentence. And they may be about me, they may be about you, they may be about Trump, they may be about anything or whatever in the world. It doesn't discriminate, it just discriminates against everybody. The last one, stress and worry versus peace and security. Which voice are we going to listen to? One is the voice of hell, according to Jesus in A Course in Miracles. That's what that voice is. It's the consciousness of the separation from source that we call hell. And the other voice is the voice of heaven, the consciousness of the connection to the one mind, to love, to peace. That's what we're really talking about as we talk about these two voices. The third one, ask for help. Well, we can ask for help in many different ways. It might be as simple as saying, I'm struggling. I can't do this by myself. Could you help me? So we ask another person if they would come into our lives and ease the burden. And sometimes that help is to a divine source, a non-physical presence that says, help, I don't know my way out of here. Could you give me some insight? Could you give me some guidance as to what to do? Now, in an old mode, the ego says, what do you mean calling to guidance and insight? There isn't anybody other than yourself. But in unity and other spiritual paths are saying, we are asking for help and guidance from the larger self, the larger I am, the divine wisdom, whatever you want to call it. So, I'll give you a second example of that kind of asking for help. Today's Sunday. Friday was my mother's birthday. She was 88. And we're having a family dinner tomorrow night, but as we were getting closer to dinner time on Friday, I thought, geez, I'm getting a feeling I should go over and visit her. She lives about two blocks away. Awesome. Very grateful, because she used to be in Melbourne, Australia, and I was in Toronto, 10,000 miles, a little more than two blocks. So it's a real gift we're in the same neighborhood. Anyway, I went into her place, and she was looking kind of at sixes and seven, and kind of watching television, but a little bit aimless and not knowing what she was going to do for dinner. And I thought, well, I was going to go for a bike ride, but why don't I ask and see what she, does she have anything for dinner? Well, I don't really have anything. And I began to have pictures of maybe going for a car ride around Stanley Park, which is one of our family favorite things to do, and maybe getting some food somewhere, but we couldn't decide on where to go for dinner. Anyway, I said, I'm going to go home and change, you change, I'll see you back in 20 minutes or so. And as I went out onto my bike, I put out a little prayer that says, so guide me, where should we go? Mm-hmm. And about 2 minutes later, I got this picture of the tea house in Stanley Park, Ferguson's Point, all right? We haven't been there in a long time, a decade or more. And So I thought, that's what I'll do. I went, we're going to be able to get a reservation. It's almost sunset. It probably packed. I took the risk. I called them up. I said, in 45 minutes, you got a table, she said. All right. So my mom and I took this beautiful sunset drive around Stanley Park. Just the perfect time. The light was coming through the Lionsgate Bridge that looked like the entire span was lit up, as though there were lights on the car deck. My mom said, there must be lights on that car deck because it was brilliant sunshine coming from the sunset along the deck. We take this beautiful ride around, get to Ferguson's Point, and enjoyed the view, enjoyed dinner, enjoyed a lovely evening sharing memories of going to that place back as early as the 1970s with her mother. Mm-hmm. And as she came home, as we drove home, she said, this has been the nicest birthday.
Oh.
Asked for help. Mm-hmm. We get the insights. We take the risk to reach out, and it can work in a very much easier way than we think it can. Fourth way out, affirmative prayer and denial. Well, for those of you who are long-timers in Unity, you'll know affirmative prayer and denial. Okay, so let's just very briefly explore those for those who might be a little bit newer to this path. Affirmative prayer are the statements at the top of the daily word, the I am statements. They're also called affirmations. But in Unity, affirmative prayer takes us a little bit deeper. I am timeless, ageless, expression of spirit. I wait peacefully for guidance. These affirmations in Unity terms or in spiritual terms are affirmations we speak to the divine, to our higher self, to the presence, so that we try to engage, or we in fact open up the gate in our minds to engage that larger being in us, the larger I am. The Course in Miracles does the same thing. These lessons from A Course in Miracles are essentially affirmative prayer. Look at some of these. It says, I am as God created me. Light and joy and peace abide in me. God's will for me is perfect happiness. Let me be still and listen to the truth. Just as you read a sentence like that and speak it to yourself, it opens up the gates to the divine inside of us. That's what affirmative prayer is it's taking a statement of affirmation of who we really are and inviting the divine to show us and give us that experience. Now, denial is something different. What is it? Statement, and this one is from A Course in Miracles as well. I am not the victim of the world I see. It is a denial of an untruth to the truth of our being. I am not a body, I am free. I may have this body in this experience of life, but I am so much more. I am a timeless, ageless expression of spirit. Those affirmations are trying to open up that space inside for the large I am to be heard and remembered. But what it's not is ignoring and denying what's happening. If you're in a bad marriage, if you're in financial difficulty, if you've got a problem, it's not to deny that those exist. That's the inappropriate use of denial. That's the ego trying to suppress it, as opposed to denial that says, I will not believe in my untruths. I will affirm the truth of who I am. And the fifth one, uncovering and healing. Do any of you ever wake up in the middle of the night? I think I'm speaking to the right crowd. Yeah, there's a few people. And sometimes the hard difficulty getting back to bed, or maybe you feel tight, and it's just like, I can't seem to find that place of rest. Well, I'm talking to you because I feel that way often. Many times at night, I wake up and feel tense. And rather than push myself, ignore, suppress, or just suffer through it, as the ego says, I turn to a journal. Put on the light. This is easy because I live alone. I'm not affecting somebody else. But I turn on the light and I write. And this is what I try to write. What's this about? why am I feeling so tense? What's underneath this inability to go back to sleep? What's this about? Mm-hmm. Encouraging the ideas to come up from the deeper parts of us. How am I feeling? What's going on inside me? Again, an invitation for what's going on inside. Noticing what thoughts are coming up. So I'm opening up what I'll call the portal or the door to the deeper mind within me. Going towards what I would rather not admit or allow up is where I go with this journey. What am I not looking at? What am I afraid to see? What am I afraid to think? Because as I let those things up on the page, that releases the pressure inside me, and I'm able to go to sleep like that after I finish journaling. It's a real gift of getting the ego out of the way, those suppressed thoughts. Uncovering and healing are essentially about bringing underlying issues to the light, to conscious awareness, and bringing them to the divine. Transform this for me. I don't want to just sit with this in my being and dream about it all night. I want this healed. I want this transformed. And it opens up inside places in journaling, ideas, poetry, forgiveness, all sorts of different things. I also use for this process some CDs or MP3 files, some spoken visualizations by a woman by the name of Bella Ruth Napersteck. I've spoken about her before. When what she says, imagine. Imagine a place where you feel truly safe. I'm going to invite you as I say this. Imagine a place, real or imaginary, where you feel truly at home. Perhaps it's a place in nature, a place in your childhood, a place you truly love. That touches spirit inside. Imagine a person who's beloved, who you truly trust and love and open your heart to. Another way of touching spirit. And in our visualizations, imagine gentle, loving beings surrounding you, a presence. And in these visualizations, I open my mind up, and sometimes I have former fathers-in-law, sometimes it's ex-wives, sometimes it's archangels. All sorts of different beings come to mind. But this is helping me to melt and open into the presence of love. We can go towards our fears intentionally. We can go towards love intentionally. But as we open our minds to the voice of healing and love, we get to transform those ego places inside. So those five ways out. Remember yours. Think of awareness and changing your mind. Asking for help. Prayers. Uncovering the stones in our shoes and taking them out. The stones in our souls. The things that are blocking us from feeling truly present and connected here today. Why is it worth getting to know these two voices inside? Well, these two voices are speaking to us about who and what we are. One voice says, we're small and we're not enough. We never will be. And you should try harder because you're never going to make it up to that hill. And the other voice says, BS to that. You are just the opposite. Only one voice gives us real help for the practical things in our lives. And by becoming aware of these voices, we get to choose. And that's the center of the whole thing. If I'm standing here, am I going to go towards this voice that says I'm not, and I'm small, and I'm just a body, and I'll never be the perfect body? Or I am. I'm much more than that. And I can forget this body because of all the talents and the gifts and the love and the presence that I have inside make my body pale in comparison. It's a choice. And in following that voice, we get to start proof of it, like that dinner with my mom. Just hearing the voice, there is something more. And when we start to experience this, it works. It works. It works. Then we begin to want it. We begin to listen to it and ask for it. We begin to call upon it and heal with it. That's the motivation that takes us towards the larger self, towards the love, towards the giving, because it works and it feeds us. And our identity, the self we identify with, begins to shift. In each of those times, we listen to that voice and act on it. I'd like you to think of the small self being that chrysalis. And begin to watch your movement to your larger identity. Look at that butterfly beginning to emerge. Look at the transformation. Compared to that chrysalis, you are way more, as is this being, this butterfly. In one of my 3 a.m. journalings, this one came through. "See What Comes Through" was the title it gave me. Why not see what comes through past the painful places and the stuck memories, the hurts, the fears, and the blocks inside? See what comes through. See what comes through when you lift your eyes and start to look around. See what comes. What happens as you unfurl your wings and start to fly? Where will you go? What will you do? Only God knows. But God knows. So do, and see what comes through you. So think about it. Which voice do you want to hear? Which identity do you long for in your heart of hearts? I think it's your time and mine to fly. So watch that butterfly. That is you. Take off. And from A Course in Miracles, this affirmative prayer: let every voice but God's be still in me. God bless.
Holy mackerel and butter.
Tackle box is calling you.
I got that part. I noticed that that Eric was really talking about love or fear as a choice. And sometimes looking at what you said there, it's like, I don't know what choice I'm making. I think I might be making a loving choice, and it turns out, I don't really know what choice that was, but there is something called grace that really, really does come in there and turns my, what seemed to be a loving choice, into truly a loving choice. And I didn't do anything for that. And I really appreciate what you decided to say about that. So I'm going to challenge you guys to change your perspective for a song that we're going to sing together, because this song actually, honestly, it's one of the most beautiful songs. I loved it when I was a kid. And when I realized what the words were really saying, it was about crying out for a transformation. So I'm going to sing the first little bit, and then I'm going to challenge you guys to sing the song to yourselves. Not to me or to anybody else but you. You are my sunshine. I'm supposed to sing it.
Yeah.
Okay, except for if you just can't help yourself with it. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, when I lay sleeping, I dreamt that I held you in my arms. When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken. My head and heart.
Your turn.
You are my dimple and love yourself is not a chance to do it again. You are my
sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love.
Can't take that sunshine away.
Wonderful, thank you, Lawrence.